It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 343, entitled Only Marks Can Appear on the Show. It was recorded on Monday, the 4th of August, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by Mark Westgard, Mark Benzekane, and, Jesse Friedman. We are here to talk about WordPress, but we do an awful lot of other stuff as well, largely to do with AI. We talk about the WordPress roadmap. 6.9 is coming around in the latter part of this year, December, and there is a load of information starting to drop about all the different bits and pieces dropping. It is one of the most exciting times, I feel, in the WordPress space. There's lots of UI changes coming, AI being rolled in, and a whole load of interesting stuff. So we talk about that. Then we talk about some other things happening in the WordPress space. For example, WordCamp US is just around the corner. You can still get tickets for that. And also one of the keynote speakers has been announced. It's Danny Sullivan from Google. We talk about the automatic timeline. The company has been around for 20 years, and it's really interesting walking back down memory lane, all of the different bits and pieces that have happened in that company. And then we start talking about AI, some really interesting things happening in the WordPress space about AI, but also some products that are launching. For example, Google have got a new product, and there's a whole load more as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Good morning, good afternoon. Good welcome. Let's go with that. It is episode number 343 of the WP Builds This Week in WordPress show. We're joining you live from all over the globe. I'm in the UK, and we'll go around the houses and we'll say hello to everybody and they can tell us where they are. Let's start with Mark Westgard, co-host thing, whatever that is. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I am good. Genuinely good. We've got a little bit of sunshine in the UK, which is, you know, you're from this part. You know, that's not normal.
Yeah, so. I just got back from 2 weeks of sunshine. I had amazing weather and I've come back to rain. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got the rain here. Mark is the founder of the WordPress form plugin, WS Form. I'm sure you've heard of it. If you haven't, you really should check it out. He wrote this, not me. He is often photographed by Nathan answering support tickets. It's true.
It's true.
Mark and I spent about 72 hours together. It was a never to be repeated moment. We spent 3 days just before WordCamp Europe driving around and getting lost and having a nice time. And I took lots of pictures of Mark answering support tickets.
Dedication.
He's very dedicated. That's so right. Go and get WS Form. Check it out. What's the URL, Mark?
WSform.com.
Nice. Okay. It's like you've said it before.
That's right.
Okay, so that's Mark Westgard. He's here. He's going to join us today. He's not in the UK, even though he sounds like he is. Georgia, I think.
Georgia today, yeah.
Yeah. Today?
What? Where will I be tomorrow? Who knows?
Okay, yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Portland. Wait, is that the country or the US state?
Oh, that's the state. That's the state.
That is the state. Okay, so over there, joining us surrounded by a black border, but we don't know why. We don't know why he's got a black border.
It's got to be a camera setting, and it's too early for me to figure it out.
It's all good. Luckily, it's basically in line with what we want. It's perfectly encapsulated, so don't worry. It's Mark Benzocaine. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, and good job on pronouncing my name.
Yeah, I now remember. Do you know what it is that I do? Every time, do you remember the band Eels? I mean, not that there's a direct connection between that and you.
I'm like, where are you going with this?
Well, they did a song. They did a song called Novocaine for the Soul. And whenever I think of you, have you ever used NLP? You know, you make connections with things so that you remember them in the future.
I've
made a connection with you and that song, which I really enjoyed when I was about 20. And so I think of that. And so I get Novocaine, Benzocaine, and that's...
And there is actually an actual topical ointment called Benzocaine. So they haven't written songs about it yet.
No, that's right. That's not going to fix itself in my head. No, let me read your bio. It's a little bit longer, but here we go. Mark Benzocaine is the marketing lead and partnership manager at Main WP, which basically means he convinces plugin developers to play in Steam Sandbox's WP and somehow makes fun newsletters to read. His career path looks like a choose-your-own-adventure book, one that includes importing coffee without a distributor, launching an ISP without knowing what DNS was. I like that one. And surviving the early internet with only a fax machine and raw optimism. I'll figure it out, seems to be his motto. These days, he splits his time between building connections, crafting creative chaos into strategy, and explaining to his kids what a modem used to sound like. I remember that. That was a great... Oh, no, that's a Spectrum. I was about to do a ZX Spectrum, but I do remember what a modem sounds like. Anyway, thank you, Mark. Appreciate you joining us here from Main WP.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. And last but by no means least, down there, we have Jesse Friedman. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing great.
Nice to have you with us. I think this is Jesse's second time, so he's fairly new to this show. So, but
like a veteran now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, that's right. Two is enough. I don't suppose we'll see you again. he's the head of WP Cloud Automatic and a longtime lover, contributor, and evangelist of WordPress. I should have just truncated that whole thing he's the head of WP Cloud Automatic and longtime lover.
That's it. Stop right there. Actually, you don't even have to keep going. That's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. That's for next time. Next time you're on, we'll do just that. That is our panel. That's who we're going to be talking to today, all about the bits and pieces that have happened in the WordPress space. I'm Nathan Wrigley. And just a few bits of housekeeping before we begin. If you fancy joining us or getting people to join us, head to wpbuilds.com/live. Hopefully it is live over there. We had a bit of an upset at the start, but there it is, wpbuilds.com/live. Oh, what a pro. Look at it. He's got the fingers out and everything. That's the place to send people. If you go over there and you want to make a comment, you probably have to be logged into Google if you're going to use the chat box on the right. If you're on a desktop, it's below if you're on a mobile. But if you don't like being logged into Google, then you can click on the video and there's a little black bottom top right. It says something like live chat. If you go there, you can just do it anonymously. You can just paste your name in if you like. In other words, you don't need to be logged in to anything at all. So say hi, come and join us, interrupt us as you see fit. We love it when people do that. There's a few people joining us today. First of all, we've got Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Ryan's in sunny and mild Charlotte, North Carolina, US. You've given us the weather update. That's lovely. Thank you so much. You're live. Thank you, Elliot. Elliot, you're on later. I've got your article. Hopefully we'll get to it. That'd be nice. Reese Wynne is joining us from a blustery Newton the Willows. Thank you very much. Dave is joining us. Dave says, I have a WS Form coaster currently sitting on my desk from WordCamp EU.
There you go.
Yeah, nice.
The smoke works.
I've got a WS Form bottle. And honestly, it was here about 25 minutes ago, and then I took it downstairs. I was going to trump Dave, you know, I've got a coaster. I was going to raise my bottle and be like, look what I've got. What else have we got? Hello, all from Elliot Sowersby. He's just down the road from me. Hi, indeed. Patricia. How are you doing, Patricia? coming to us from, I'm going to say Germany. I hope I got that right. Marcus Burnett, Florida, I think. Hello from a warm, oh yeah, look, it's in writing. Hello from a warm and sunny central Florida. Really enjoying the amount of marks on this week. I know, we talked about this earlier, how difficult it's going to, I think it's an unsurmountable problem, frankly. That's the kind of thing that my brain can't cope with, two people of the same name. So that Mark over there, he's going to be Mark. And this Mark down here, he's going to be like Karen or Cynthia, right, or something.
Yeah. Like, or we could just both talk over each other.
Yeah, let's do that. I'll just say Mark. And you can
I was just going to defer to the other Mark on everything.
Okay, guys, we'll go over there. Okay, so yeah, I've got your article later, but it's too technical to actually, you know, show in great detail. But yeah, we'll get to it. I saw it and it looked great. Okay, so what have we got for you this week? Well, WordPressy stuff coming up in a little bit, but firstly, a little bit of self-promotion. I hope you don't mind too much. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you fancy getting in touch or staying in touch with what we do, just put your email address into that little box there, and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. We parceled this show up as an audio podcast, and we'll send that out tomorrow morning. So that's Tuesday. Send you one of those every Tuesday about the This Week in WordPress show. And then we do a podcast episode every Thursday, which is just me and usually one other person having a chat. This is the archive for that. And so you can see that the last person that I spoke to was a chap called Mark Schwartz, who has a cool thing called CheckView. I think Mark, which one? I think Mark Westgaard, you will know him, I'm guessing.
I do yeah, know him very well, yeah.
He has a product which enables you to, let's say that you've got a website and you've got forms on there. That could be e-commerce, like WooCommerce or something like that. Yeah, or it could just be a WS form or something, you know, pick your form plugin of choice. And it will do checks to make sure that the forms are actually working. But it goes a little bit further. So it does things like sucks in the emails that should come, make sure they're all working. It does it in as an actual person. It doesn't do it like a robot would do it. So it fills out the fields, types them all in very slowly so it doesn't trip any sort of Cloudflare nonsense, anything like that, and then gives you reports. So hopefully this is the sort of thing you could deploy. And I believe, Mark, I think I sent you an email, didn't I, sort of connecting you with him and Dennis.
Yeah, I actually had about an hour-long conversation with him a couple of weeks ago. Fantastic guy, fantastic person. Yeah, we had a great conversation.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, because I figured that main WP, given what you do, there was a real nice overlap there. So so that was the most recent episode, and that was 4.3.1. And then I did an episode with Google's Maria Moeva. I don't know if you've come across this product before, but it's called SiteKit. Kind of gone under the radar a bit for me. But it's now got over 5 million installs. And what it does is in the back end of your WordPress website, it enables you to kind of like coalesce all of the Google services, like, you know, Google AdWords, Google Analytics. And it just surfaces the bits that she and her team have decided are going to be useful. So it's not like your deep, deep dive. Google Analytics, I think, is pretty confusing. They surface all the bits that they think WordPress users would be able to make use of. And it's all in this one suite. But it's gone up to 5 million active installs over just 5 years. So it's pretty cool. So you can go and check out what she and the team over at Google have been doing with that. Anybody use that? I mean, obviously 5 million installs. Yeah. I guess it's pretty popular.
Yeah. Yeah, Google SiteKit's been around for a while. I've used it since the beginning.
Oh. Okay. I can
mostly to test it in the beginning. Yep. And then, it's helpful because anything that you're doing in terms of integration with Google around like the webmaster tools, things like that, that's all deeply integrated.
So it's
a one-stop shop.
Yeah. I was genuinely quite impressed. And she came across as a really, I just got a really good feeling about her and her, you know, her being in charge of that team. You know how sometimes when the person kind of makes you into that product? So, you know, like Mark from WS Form down there, I think it's fair to say that you are that product. You know, you do all the bits and pieces and you've gone to great lengths to make it what it is. And I think people have, you know, you've swayed a lot of people by your personality and your showing up. I got that same intuition with her. And obviously this is not her product, but I got that same good feeling. And if you could send Mark Westgaard the check into the mail, that would be, that'd be great. Thank you.
It's funny, when I first started out, I was promoting the brand, WS4, and very quickly learned that people like to engage with the person behind it, right?
And yeah.
personal brand is very important. So.
Yeah.
So I try to be a nice guy, but...
I'd say you're very nice. You're a very nice guy. Can I just say, I've got, like over here, I've got some hexagons. Mark Benzekane seems to have a plank of wood. Mark Westgaard, you've got, I don't know what they are, like 3D squares. Yeah. Jesse's got squid and what looks like a superhero. So did you paint those?
I did not, but they're actually the best icebreaker of all time. Everyone asks what's going on with the artwork. So the funny thing is that this is like a resume or a CV for me. I worked on a product a long time ago called Blue Squid that we had to move to WordPress. And I saw this at a art festival, bought it from the guy who painted it, put it up on the wall at the company we were working at. And then when the Blue Squid product was finally replaced by WordPress, when we killed it, I commissioned him to make the harpoon. And then we hung that up in the office. Then I left that company, created Brew Protect, sold that to Automatic. That's Brew Protect. And then joined the Jetpack team, which is the Rocketeer.
Too clever.
That's
although, awesome. You know, that I've got a similar story. I once did a website called reallyuninterestinghexagons.com. And that's
all you've got.
Yeah, that's all. That's such a cool story, Jesse. The reason I hadn't spotted it is because when you joined the call, you were in a tiny little square. And this is the first time.
Yeah,
you got all big.
And actually, the last time I was here, I had the podcast background, which I took down the art and I put up the neon signs. So.
Definitely stay with this one. It's very, very
cool. I think if you move just a little, I think to your right, it really will look like that squid's coming out of your head. So, the other right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Honestly, we could have fun with this.
I'll see if I can sit here.
That's right.
Like Marge from The Simpsons.
Indeed.
Yeah, with eyes. It's like a Simpsons Halloween episode.
It's either Mark or Mark. So we're not getting to the WordPress news for a bit. I can see that already. I've got derailed by a squid and now Mark has hijacked us. He says, is either Mark or Mark short for anything? I went by Mark for 1 year in school before sticking with Marcus. Is Mark short for anything, Mark?
Mark with a K, no. Just given Mark.
Yeah. Okay. And it is short for Mark with a C. I'm not kidding.
What? Oh, I know you are.
I am.
Okay. Oh, I was so sucked into
this
that.
This is going to sound so great on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Paul Halfpenny's joining us. Says hello. Happy Monday. I thought you were more into Depeche Mode, but we'll go with Happy Mondays. That's fine. And David Wormsley, if I remember correctly, they had a security issue early on and removed it and forgot about it then. Okay. Thank you, David, for joining us. David's in the UK now as well, which is nice. He's moved over from India for a few weeks, which is lovely. Right, let's get on to the bits and pieces that we were talking about. So there we go. There was Google's site kit. We often give the guests an opportunity to raise something, and Jesse just dropped this one in ever so quickly before the show started. I confess I did see this, but somehow I forgot to mention it. A little while ago, I don't know, a decade ago, something like that, Google created their URL shortening service when they were all the rage. Do you remember there was a whole slew of them, like j.mp and bit.ly, which I still think is around. Google had their goo.gl service, and then they killed it, but they said that the old links would keep working forever. And guess what? Google lied. And they've killed another product. Is there anything more to this apart from the fact that, like, I don't know, a gazillion links will die, Jesse?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting because, you know, they have actually retracted the statement that they're going to kill every link now, I guess, and they're gonna hold on to a small subset of them.
Oh,
I can't imagine in the grand scheme of things how much this is costing Google. It's a few pennies in our pockets, I'm sure. But it's interesting because I think this is kind of, it highlights for me some of the issues that we have with the fact that, you know, WordPress is made available to folks to with a very low barrier of entry, very little technical knowledge needed to run a business. And, you know, you kind of go out and you seek out tools on the internet, and understanding the implications of using third-party services like this is often lost on people. And I think this just highlights for you that, you know, if you're doing something like this, if you're publishing documentation, if you wrote a book and you're using Google short link thing inside of it to make it easy for people to reference those links in literature or, you know, in a how-to book, it's all going to be lost. In a few examples they gave, there were some scientific documents, some papers written, things like that, where those things are no longer going to resolve. And so, you know, it's going to have a disruption. There's something like 10 million links that are going to be broken.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for just like in general, I think it's important for people to have, you know, hygienic knowledge of how the internet works so that you can make sure to kind of avoid these things in the future.
Do they give a reason why they're getting rid of them?
They're short of cash.
Yeah, there must be.
They only made something like $76 billion in the last quarter.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I would imagine the few hundred bucks a month in 301s there is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see anything other than the fact that it seems like, you know, they're always just trying to consolidate. You know, I think Google has a reputation for, you know, if they don't have people working on it, they don't put things in maintenance mode for very long. They tend to shutter it. I think it has its reasons, but
I wonder if they've also got plans for that. Maybe they're going to just hijack the entire, you know, subset of URLs. But obviously, if they're keeping a collection of them around, that kind of maybe means that they're not. Just curiously, it's kind of related to that. I don't know if you've heard about this project, and I can't off the top of my head remember the name, but file formats is also goes the way of like Google, GOO.GL, in that at the minute, everybody's using, I don't know, MP3 and JPEG. But if you cast your mind back, there are whole file formats which are now obsolete, for which people have got like loads of documents out there. And there is I think open source is probably the wrong way to put it, but let's go for philanthropic project out there. Like there's a whole team of people who are trying to make it so that at any point in the future, there is a converter available no matter what it is. So, you know, when inevitably the .jpeg system of storing images disappears, which of course at some point it will, you'll still be able to view them at some point. And, you know, as these platforms drop, I don't know, your Google Docs and things like that, the same would be true. And I think it would be a shame to lose that. David Wormsley, who was in the comments, I just mentioned that he's in the UK at the moment. He, a little while ago, out for no reason that he could discern, his Facebook account was basically deleted. And so all of the hard work that he put into kind of curating that and being in groups and everything, overnight, in a heartbeat, was gone. I think for a period of time, he tried to get it back, but then just thought, it doesn't really matter, I'm not that bothered. So he made peace with that. But it just does go to show how, you know, somebody clicks fingers and it's gone.
You're touching on something there that's actually really near and dear to my heart. I've been using this term for quite a while now called, or just basically saying that you should own your influence. A lot of people don't necessarily recognize this, but you're building, you know, a business, you're building a reputation, you're building an audience on a social media platform. It feels stable because of the fact that they never go down as a platform. But what you don't realize is that you can get shadow blocked, you can get maliciously reported, the algorithm could change tomorrow and your type of content would no longer be important. And the biggest problem with that is that you could build up an audience of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And if they're not seeing you in the feed anymore, how are you communicating with them? If you build a business, this is even scarier. If you build an e-commerce business on Instagram and tomorrow they decide that you're no longer relevant, what happens to your employees? What happens to your product? If you're not leveraging the open web to mirror the audience that you have, you're building on a very fragile foundation.
We're all about that as well, aren't we, in the WordPress space? But I feel that that conversation is really difficult to penetrate into the head of somebody under the age of 25. So I have 3 kids, and these platforms, like Instagram is a perfect example. It's been alive for as long as they've been aware about the internet. And so it feels immutable. It almost a bit like Google feels immutable to me. It almost feels like a public service, like a utility that I can rely on, you know, Google Docs and things like that. But of course it can disappear. But it's so difficult to imagine that scenario that I think it's a bit like, you know, you just sort of throw caution to the wind, screw it. I'll just put my endeavors all onto Instagram, to Facebook, whatever. But boy, the day that it does disappear, which it inevitably will, let's hope it's sort of slow and gradual and people can sort of wean themselves off it in the process. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's the answer? Because the reality is I can create a TikTok account right now and have content up 5 minutes later.
Yeah, it's compelling.
And so when you go on the open web, all of a sudden it's a completely different, like, you have to know things. And I, first of all, Jesse, I completely agree with you. I love that term. You have to own your influence, but there has to be a way to bridge that gap then, because the appeal of Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and all that is the ability to just instantly get your content up and get views.
Yeah.
Yeah. Social media should definitely be leveraged. It's not something that should be ignored. The short-term games of building an audience are, you know, unparalleled anywhere else. But the long-term, the long-tail strategy for anyone online should be to mirror that audience somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so that way you control and have a way to communicate with them. It's just this idea that people don't understand that they actually don't understand. They don't own the connection between them and their audience because it's built on a platform that they don't control. And all it takes is, I mean, shadow banning is one of the worst things out there for people because they're putting up content. They're not blocked. They don't understand why things are starting to fall apart, but their traffic starts to decrease and they can be screaming from the rooftops, creating new content, and their audience is just not seeing it. So what do you do at that point? Well, if you had brought those people over to WordPress as well, or to an email newsletter or anything else where you can control that level of communication with them, then you can say, hey, I'm moving to this platform. I'm doing this. If you love my content, don't, you know, go to YouTube instead of Instagram, whatever it might be. But right now, it's just you have a bullhorn into a muted audience, into a bunch of people with soundproof headphones on. You can't get contact with them.
You know what the answer is? I have the answer. It's dead simple. It's called an RSS feed and a podcast. And then you got the lot. It's yours, right? I mean,
I think honestly, RSS feeds, you know, it was like JavaScript back in like, what was it, like 2010 or so, right? Like,
yeah.
Popularity. Flash was really coming out of the woodwork. And then, folks like Matt, you know, said like, learn it deeply. Other people were building out all these other projects for it. And then all of a sudden now, like, it's the backbone of everything that we do. I would imagine RSS feed is in the valley right now, but I think it's coming back.
It's one of those things that you don't even need to know it exists, really. It's just like I have a podcast player, and honestly, if I didn't know that there was an RSS feed behind anything, I would just know, using the vernacular of YouTube, I would just know that I'd subscribed to a podcast, but I wouldn't have any notion that there was an RSS feed there and it was independent of a particular company. I would hope that creators would take that message. And even if you do put stuff online, let's say to YouTube, and you make that the fulcrum of everything, at least have a backup of it somewhere, you know, stick it on a hard disk somewhere and back that up, just so that the day that it does go wrong. And like Dave says, Dave Gray, Facebook will never surpass MySpace at all. I remember when MySpace was all the rage, and it felt like it could never go away, right? And then it came along. And then David Wormsey says, indeed, like AOL, MySpace is too big to fail. That's right. Michelle, hello, Michelle. Claim all the platforms, whether you use them or not, then you don't have to scramble later. Yeah. Okay, anyway, Google, the URL shortener, is going away, thankfully. They have a bunch of other stuff which is still available. But yeah, that was a good story. Thank you for that. Spurned a little bit. Shall we move on? Let's get into WordPressy stuff. Okay, here we go. Oh, my goodness. Right. I was just saying, just before this call began, it felt like the WordPress news, to some extent, had dried up a little bit. Make.wordpress.org a year ago was incredibly busy, and then it kind of calmed down quite a lot. And now, just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's really got really hot again. There's an awful lot going on. And this will be of great interest to everybody. So if you're into WordPress, this article matters. WordPress 6.9, the roadmap to it. So it's by Anne McCarthy. And she wrote it not that long ago, 28th of July. And I'll just paraphrase what I can. WordPress 6.9 is scheduled to be released at the beginning of December, so the latter part of this year. It was sort of decided for a period of time that would not, in fact, occur. But now project leadership has said, yep, let's go for it. Let's put that one in the calendar. And so here are the high-level items which are intended to ship. So evolving the site editor. the idea here, this is pretty cool, is to have two states for editing your own content, a simplified state and a normal state, and you would toggle it with a button at the top left where you would add blocks from, that kind of thing. And there's a little video of it on this piece, and I'll link to this piece in the show notes, but essentially you just get far less options. So you're into an editing interface, which an editor, an actual somebody that cares about writing text only would want to be involved in. So I think that's kind of cool. Expanded template management is also on the cards. Adding support. I don't really get this, but I'm going to read it out anyway. I'm not really sure what it means. Add support for multiple templates per slog with the ability to activate or deactivate them for easy switching between custom templates. It doesn't mean at the same time, though, does it? Surely it means like you could have this one or this one.
Yeah, so I would imagine what that means is that, like, if you're a newspaper and you have a template for, editorials or something like that, and then you want to switch all the editorial templates for a small period of time because of a, you know, special that's happening with the newspaper where you're trying to drive its subscriptions or something, you could switch the template, then you won't have to go in and change all the things that are using that template because you would be switching it behind the slug.
Okay, I get it. That makes sense. I just didn't parse it that way, so that's really helpful. Thank you, Jesse. The next one, this is super cool. The ability to hide blocks. So basically, you could have blocks in the editor, which when you hit publish, never make it to the front end. So you could have like a half-finished piece of, I don't know, a paragraph, which you never quite got right. You just tell it, don't appear on the front end. And so you can show it, hide it, essentially, which I think is really nice. Block-level
Think about that for Black Friday's specials, right?
Yeah.
The week before, you can have them all loaded up, ready to go, all your specials, and then publish it.
Yeah. You just go to the block and hit, go live. Yeah, so it's not like copied in from a draft document or something like that. It's all there in the document, but it's just not there quite. Then moving on to what feels like collaborative editing, you've got the idea of block level commenting will be dropping. So you can see it. If you're looking at the screen, you can see it. So you're in a paragraph block, say, for example, you'll be able to have people view comments, comment on comments, reply to comments, close comments, that kind of thing. Again, very cool. It's not like the collaborative thing quite, but it's a part of the journey, I suppose, getting there. Then the command palette, so think like Spotlight on the Mac. This already exists in WordPress, but I suspect that many people don't use it because it's really only available in a subset of places. The idea is that it will be available everywhere. And imagine this with the new AI capabilities. That would be kind of an interesting thought. So that's also coming. And then there's a bunch of slightly more technical things, including the WordPress admin experience, which we'll come to in just a moment. But I think some of those features sound pretty exciting. Over to you guys, if you've got anything to add.
I was interested in the PHP AI client, which is further down on that document.
Thank you.
And I spoke to James DePage about this at WordCamp. Where were we? Europe, I think. What this basically is going to provide is a single kind of API that developers can plug into to make AI-related requests. So, for example, making a chat request or asking it to create an image, etc., within a unified interface. So at the moment, developers who are using AI in WordPress plugins or themes or whatever are having to custom code that stuff to talk to these OpenAI APIs manually. So this is going to provide just a single interface for doing that. So I'm actually interested in having a play around. I haven't tried it yet, but it looks to be pretty cool.
We featured, so James LePage, who's the head of AI at Automattic, we featured an article that he wrote about, and it wasn't the PHP bit, I want to say it was the Abilities API. Okay. Is that right? Have I got that right? And I thought, I've never said this, I thought that was the single most important article we've ever mentioned on this show. So I've been doing this since like 2016 or something. I just thought, like, that is profound. If you can offer something which makes kind of WordPress the centerpiece of all this AI stuff, and you all know that I'm not that I don't use a lot of AI, so I don't really truly understand it. But it does feel like there's a lot of what you were saying, Mark, developers having to write their own thing to make it behave in WordPress. And then, of course, they've got this silo that they've got to maintain. And this idea that WordPress will deliver this connector, this ability to have these abilities. So, I don't know, the AI knows that's what you do when you want to make a post. That's what a comment looks like. That's what the back end, the list view looks like, whatever.
Yeah.
If all of that is possible, it suddenly makes WordPress kind of like this engine, this powerhouse.
Well, I think this is a big stepping stone for all things AI in WordPress, and it needs to be there. So, yeah, I'm interested in playing around with it. We have an OpenAI add-on for WS Form. And again, I had to write all of the connectors to it.
You were the first that I knew that did anything like that. And I remember thinking at the time, why the hell's he done that? Like, this is such a flash in the pan. This is going nowhere. OpenAI, what?
Yeah. What does that do? Yeah.
The heck?
Yeah. Yeah, we use it for making forms, but also for adding AI interactivity on forms. So you can use it to create content in like a visual editor or create an image for a blog post or whatever. So eventually I'd like to migrate that to this new client that they've built, so that it's all centralized within WordPress.
But imagine just sort of going into your WordPress site and just typing in create a blog post with 7 images, I don't know, about dogs and something, you know, whatever, you get the point. And then just check the SEO settings for me, make sure that it is working with my SEO plugin. You just type it all in and off it goes. That all seems now to be within reach, whereas it felt like you would have to subscribe to a bunch of paid for services, obviously the AI APIs you've got to pay for, but you'd have to find and cobble together a load of plugins that would do all of that work. And it now feels that that's going to happen inside a core. And Tammy, yes, okay. So you're finally getting excited. I get excited by how it works, not by it. Let's go with that. Anybody on the AI thing that we just mentioned there, or the bits and pieces of 6.9, Jesse or Mark, Ben's account, do you want to drop in there or not? I'll move on if not.
It just seems exciting for the same path that Gutenberg is on, which is that it can become a editor that lives outside of WordPress, Gutenberg anyway. So like maybe this is a foundation for a framework for building on the internet through AI.
What I'm enjoying from this is that it feels like for the first time in a while, I feel there's a bit of mojo in WordPress, which I haven't felt for 7 or 8 months. It felt like there's been a lot of little bits, you know, interesting little bits, but it feels like this AI team have got a really large amount going on. And Paul Halfpenny, who is in the comments, by the way, I should mention, he was one of the speakers last week on Thursday at WPLDN. We do a meetup in London for the WordPress community in London, and he has a plugin called Filter AI, and it would definitely be worth checking out. He did a demo with his comedy partner Ali. They were like the two Ronnies, actually. They were really funny. And a lot of plugins are doing it and going to be redundant shortly due to AI. Yeah, so go and check that out. Great presentation, by the way. And I got your email, Paul. I'll answer it after I've tied up this show. So there we go. Anybody, Mark, do you want to comment on 6.9 before we move on?
I like you, I agree. It's good to see some actual momentum starting to pick up again, because you're right. It felt kind of like, I wouldn't say it felt like things were dying, but things were definitely a little sick for a bit. So, so yeah, I'm excited about where things are going. And I am, I think like most of us, I have a love-hate relationship with AI, but I know that there's no avoiding it. And so learn it and work with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that was maybe the bit that was going on in my head. I just saw this tsunami and couldn't see a way for WordPress to figure that out. I couldn't see how WordPress, and you know, I just couldn't see it. Fortunately, leadership could and devised a really credible team of people. I mean, really credible people on that team. And they're doing this work, you know, for the first time in Automattic's history, I think they're putting them all in a same space. You know, they've got an office for them so that they can knock their heads together constantly. So that'll be interesting. So
you just always have to have the attitude of like, there's always someone smarter than you that'll figure it out if you think that you're not going to be able to.
Yeah. So. Yeah, this is my watchword. There's always somebody smarter than me, even in a playground full of tiny children. This is my mantra. Okay, right, let's move on. That was very exciting. Okay, so the next piece then, we'll just go briefly on these, is that introducing WordPress test group Introducing the WordPress test contributors group. I don't know if any of you do testing in the WordPress space, but there would appear to have been in recent times a bit of a decline in that task. Lots of people, the numbers seem to have gone down. So it says here, on top of that, the committer activity base has been significantly declining in the past few months. The gap between contributors and committing attempts has been increasing over time without a clear upfront solution. And so there's a piece here where they're laying out how they think they can improve the process of testing. Having not been involved in this in any way, shape or form, I can't really comment on it because I don't really truly understand it. But I would draw your attention to this. It was produced on the 23rd of July. It's by Sir Luen. I don't know how you pronounce that. I do apologize. And the article is called Introducing the WordPress Test Contributors Group. This new group, hopefully you can go in and give your opinion on how to triage things and how that whole process is going to be structured. It sounds like it's going to be a little bit leaner. And they are going, well, I'll read the first proposal. The first thing they're going to try and tackle is the proposal that has been brought more, that has brought more attention to achieve a new level of quality to the organization has been the idea of having contributors specializing in one single area or component within WordPress or Gutenberg. So instead of just being like a master, like putting yourself up for everything, the idea in the future is that you would nominate yourself to be an expert in one area, and hopefully that would then get noticed and you would become kind of one of the default people in that area. I'm sure that's happened in the past, but yeah, anyway, here we go. Anything on that or moving on? Okay, moving on. This I'm not going to mention because it's really related to the last one that we just did, so I'll just quickly move on. Actually, here's the next one then. Matthias Ventura, who is one of the project leads, he has produced, it's over on GitHub actually, again, links in the show notes. It's called Admin Materials and Surfaces. And I'll just read out what he says. As we further develop the primitives to make up the overall admin system, it seems important to map out main elements that compose it. The issue focus is largely on how things might work and how things are structured and how they look. And he's splitting the whole thing up into something called materials, concepts, and screens. And if you can see here, this is, sorry if you're listening to this on the podcast, this bit is going to be a tough listen, but this we're going to have to look at the screen for a little bit. The overall admin interface is composed of a few core materials grouped into bases, surfaces, and overlays, and he gets to show those. Then he shows what some new surfaces might look like. And then he moves into what different screens might look like, different ways that you might have things. I quite like this one, this table view, where you've got this idea of sort of like a faceted search almost down the side here. Another table view here, surfacing things like media and what have you. And basically, it's a call for help with what do you think the admin should look like in the future. And I noticed Tammy, who's on this call, has put her comments in as well. And there she is. Look, that's one person's opinion. Oop. This one here. Now this issue rocks. Yes, it does. Anybody got anything on that? I don't know if you had a chance to read it. I didn't really summarize that very well, I don't think, but anyway.
I mean, it's the roughest, you know, draft of wireframes for what the admin could look like. And when you went down to that screen there where you showed the pages, I think it's exciting because what you start to see there is, you know, if we modernize the admin, I think you're going to be able to browse around a lot faster. And I think then this new idea of the way the interface is going to work is that it's going to be a lot more focused on the path you want to take. If you're a designer and you're building, you'll be able to focus much more on that. If you're an editor and you're writing, it'll be a little bit easier to do that. And I think you'll see that you'll be able to kind of navigate and understand the admin a lot faster. I think one of the problems that we see when we interview new users trying out the WP admin is that, at least with, you know, I think most hosts don't always put the biggest emphasis on the admin speed over the front end speed. And you can see that it takes a little bit longer for the admin to load on some hosts. And that can be unbelievably frustrating when you don't know where to go. So the admin doesn't give you a whole lot of previews in the sense of, you know, what's going to happen after the click. And so this looks to me like a way to help solve that UX issue, in that people will be able to start to discover a little bit more without having to reload the page. Right. That's what's got exciting for me.
Yeah, and Jesse, you said far more eloquently than I could have said it exactly what I was thinking. So thank you.
I'm not a great user of SaaS apps which align with the same purpose as WordPress does. So I really have never been inside of Wix or Squarespace or any of those sort of rival competing platforms. It's been a real age since I use things like Drupal and things like that. So I don't really know what the state of the competition is like, but I do know that even to this day, I am still confused by how to get around, especially the full site editing part of WordPress. I'm still massively confused about how to get there and why I can't get back to certain places with a single click and, you know, essentially where I've ended up. I still find it remarkably confusing. And this kind of thing with all these like panels that you can pop out and filtering and searching, it definitely, I don't know, it just seems a little bit more modern. And obviously this is the beginning of a journey, so you can go and check this out. It is on WordPress's GitHub. It's under the Gutenberg repository, and it is issue number 70913. So you can figure out the URL for yourself, but I'll put it in the show notes.
One other thing there too is I hope if you're a plugin developer, you rethink where the settings and the ways in which your plugin interacts with the admin. You know, take some time to think about that with this new interface, because the biggest issue that we see with end users installing new plugins is that every single plugin changes the admin in a different way.
Yeah.
So some put it into settings, some open their own settings, some integrate it into the editor. And you spend half your time trying to figure out what actually changed after an install. So maybe something like this can also help with the walkthroughs as well with plugins. But I think plugin developers should really try to think about, like, take a step back and take advantage of the fact that the admin's going to change drastically. This is your chance to really rethink the way in which your plugin interacts with that as well.
Do you think that they're going to, like when Gutenberg was released, you had the classic editor. Do you think that they'll still allow for like the classic admin so that people can have time to ease into? And then how much overhead is that going to create to have that, I wonder?
I mean, WordPress is notoriously good at backwards compatibility.
Right.
One of the things that kind of bleeds into this idea of like transitioning you really well into new interfaces. I mean, any type of SaaS product, the second you change anything visually, people erupt in anger. And even if it's amazing a few months later, they're going to be angry about it for a while. I don't know. I have no knowledge as to whether or not the actual core team is going to maintain that. But I would imagine that if they don't, someone else will. Someone will create a plugin that will restore the old admin.
So
the nature of WordPress.
Yeah, David, who's in the comments, he said in groups, I'm imagining he's thinking about Facebook groups and things like that. I see many would like to know the impact for classic WordPress users. And then actually on the article, I didn't spot your comment, David, but David's made a comment. There's one of about 10 on the actual GitHub issue. And he's put, how does this affect those who want to disable Gutenberg and use WordPress for the PHP functionality it can add to an HTML site? Okay, that's really interesting, because this doesn't appear to allude to any of that, does it? It definitely feels like, you know, your full site editing all the way. I obviously don't know, but maybe Matthias will get back to you. But as Jesse said, we definitely have a history of backwards compatibility to the point of insanity in some cases. Mm-hmm. And Well, we'll wait and see. It's a first shot over the bows. Tammy, if you've got anything to say about that, let us know. Otherwise, we will move on. I'll link to that in the show notes.
Okay. I was going to just mention on this, the same comment Jesse was talking about plugin developers, a lot of them are coming up with completely different UIs, right, for their products. So you may have 10 plugins installed, all with a different look and feel when you click on them. Some of them popping out of the admin and then coming back in. I actually took the decision with my plugin to try and incorporate it in with the look and feel of the WordPress admin. For some people, they don't like that. They actually criticize my products and say it looks dated. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to keep it, you know, within the same UI, so I can't really win. But I hope that the, from what I've played with so far, I've done a lot of work with like with Zach Katz, with DataKit, and the whole data view system. And sorry, my wife is calling me. Turn that off. The data view thing has been progressing. On the previous article that we were just going through, Nathan, on the 6.9 roadmap.
Yeah, that was in there.
There was something in there as well. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff to do in there with different field types and stuff. I hope that this is going to be extensible enough and adaptable enough to plugin developers and not just the Gutenberg interface. Because I'd really like to see plugin developers take advantage of this new UI that they're coming up with. So hopefully there's enough in there for everybody to work with, and not, hopefully this isn't 100% focused just on the Gutenberg project and or what it needs.
Given that this is the WordPress way, obviously Matthias is doing this all, you know, these screenshots and what have you, it's all in the open. Obviously, you know, you can contribute and add your comments and what have you. James Lau, I presume in response to David Holmes, is just saying, just give in.
Just give in.
Just give in.
I actually read that as a pun. Given in, as in like paying the WP admin, you know?
He's given in. He has given in. He's given in with WordPress altogether, basically. He's gone to HTML and CSS almost entirely. So, yeah. Tammy says, so here we go. Who also has a comment, a lengthy comment in that post as well. The maintenance burden of supporting backwards is intense and substantial. At some point, we need to make decisions. This is a personal opinion. Yeah, I'm with you, Tammy. Okay, right. Anything else on that? No. Okay, we'll move on very, very quickly. Am I going to do this one? I know it's not on the screen, but I'm just deciding whether... Yeah, let's do this one. No, let's not. I'm sorry, you don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm just going to move on in the background. The most recent event coming up in the WordPress space, the one that's coming up next, the big flagship one, is going to be WordCamp US. It's being held in Portland in a, I don't know, 3 weeks' time, something like that, a little bit less. At the minute, the last time I looked, they'd sold 750 tickets. It's definitely down on the numbers from last year. It's at the exact same venue, which at previous numbers felt massive anyway. I mean, it really is a gigantic venue. They're doing student tickets. So if you're a student and can prove through some kind of accredited ID, that you see the slip there. If you can improve through some sort of accredited AI, that you're a student, you can get a ticket for $25. For the rest of you, it is $100. And this is one of the keynote speakers, which I thought was kind of interesting. Danny Sullivan, who is of WordPress and has been involved in search for the longest time. And it feels to me like a really pivotal moment for Google and search. So I'd be kind of interested to see what Danny Sullivan has to say about that. By the way, if you are thinking of going and you go to the Portland website, you too can receive a free copy of the guide to Portland, and they will mail it to you for free. It only costs the US taxpayer $12.95. And so I recommend you get it, and you can be the recipient of a booklet entirely full of ads. No, I'm
hopefully joking. That's just the Oregon taxpayer.
It's actually pretty good. I was mocking. It's actually pretty good. You can get it for free, and yeah, $12.95. They'll send it to you, and you can find out things about Oregon and Portland in particular.
You should turn that into a WordPress website.
That's
AI. Yeah, just send them photos of it. Say, turn this into a website.
I don't know which of you folk are going. I'm going to be there. I know Mark's going to be there. Are you going, Mark, the other Mark? Are you heading there this time?
I actually am not.
Oh.
So, this is the first WordCamp US I am not attending, and we'll see how that goes. It's gonna feel strange to not be there, I will tell you that.
Well, I'll send you updates. Jesse, are you going?
I was accepted to speak, but I unfortunately had to decline because I will be out on sabbatical. So Automattic gives a 3-month paid sabbatical that kick you out the door every 5 years. And mine starts on Monday, 1 week from today.
Oh, so we'll, nice. So you got three months just hanging out. That's so good.
Yeah.
Do you get to decide when that sabbatical is, or they just say, no, this is your sabbatical, see you later?
It would certainly be interesting if they just booted you out. Like, literally, yeah,
that's right. You get to work one day and it's like, sorry.
Sorry.
It's today.
No, you get suspended without pay or something. Yeah. I'm actually hiding that. Yeah, I've been suspended for. I was trying to come up with something funny there. No, I chose it. Actually, I was going to originally go out in June and be back just before, but things got postponed a little bit. So I'll be back in November, and I will be missing WordCamp US.
The couple of comments come in about what we were talking about. Sorry, we probably don't need that one there. Let's just put this back. 826 tickets sold as of today. The target. I was speaking to, was it Carla Campos, I think, who's one of the organizers. There's a podcast episode coming out on Wednesday from her. Their target is 1,000. And it was literally this time last week that I spoke to her. So they've added, and they had 750. So they've added 75 in the last week. So hopefully if that trajectory continues, they'll get up to that target of 1,000. Yeah, I hope so.
As someone who's run WordCamps in the past, I can tell you the last 2 weeks are the most stressful because you plan for all these meals, big auditoriums, and that's where like most of the tickets are sold. This is the last few weeks.
She was saying that it's like 30 hours a week for her at the minute, and she's just robbing Peter to pay Paul. She's taking it from time off, you know, like evenings and weekends. She's just putting in an extra 30 hours. Because the whole volunteer basis of the entire thing, you know, every time she gets on a plane, she's got to pay for that. Every time she does an hour, she's got to pay for that. So, you know, very thankful for people like her putting these events on. The gratitude is enormous. But also it must feel very, very difficult at this time. She wasn't expressing any sense of sort of regret or anything like that, but you could definitely tell her words were chosen carefully. She's under pressure. So, high attendance would be great. Speaking of attendees, if you are going to attend, just know this. I just got an email about 20 minutes ago. It's beautiful. This is the email I just got.
I love how they've got the total attendee figure of 1,594.
Yeah. So I got an email about 15 minutes ago. It says, hi, I hope you're well. We are following up to confirm. They're not following up. I've never heard of these people. We're following up to confirm that you're interested in acquiring the visitor attendee list from WordCamp US between blah, 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 blah. But they've highlighted it in yellow, which is so nice. There's nothing tasteless about that at all. Each record contains name, email address, company, URL, blah, 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 telephone number, and I'm supposed to reply. I don't know what to say, frankly. Yes, it's publicly available information, but stop it.
Just reply and say, send me cost. That's one of the options. Right. Send me cost.
Send me the cost. Okay. Okay. This could be fun, right? Maybe by next week I could have a real
I think you should absolutely follow up on this. And maybe you should give them the link to the attendees list.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna follow up with a really slightly sarcastic reply and see if they notice that. I'll just string them along. If you can
tell me my phone number, I'll buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. This is my promise. There's a guy
You'd be amazed with the way that they tie your contact information across several different mediums, and they give you a unique identifier, and then they look for you on these public lists and things like that. So I would imagine No, I was going to say that this could be complete spam, but it could, I mean, it is spam either way, but like it could be a complete spoof or it could actually really have people's information and be kind of creepy to see what they
are. Yeah, I'm not actually going to get anything from them, but there's a guy in the UK who does, like, he does stand up. And one of his skits that he does in his stand up, I don't know if you've seen him, Mark, I can't remember his name. Is it Joe Lycett? That's it. One of his things is that he does exactly this. He replies to spam email really politely and then just gets into this like crazy email exchange with them where it just gets more and more absurd. And he sees how long he can keep them going and how long their interest is maintained, even though it gets really, really ridiculous. I mean, hysterically funny.
But it's a way to tax them too.
Yeah, exactly. Cloudflare are going to do that with bots, aren't they? They're going to just sort of trap them in a endless nonsense bunch of websites and URLs and just keep them cycling around. So
yeah, didn't they have an old lady that just calls up these spammers for hours?
They've got an AI of an old lady. That's exactly it. And she just
she's counting out her cash with points.
Yeah, and it's things like, you know, they'll you know, the call operator on the other end will be saying, okay, just click this button, and they've programmed it so that she's as doddery as possible. What do you mean, click which button, the blue button or the red button? And eventually, obviously, the operator figures it out and hangs up. But they can waste so much time on this old lady.
Redeem the gift card.
This is the reason AI should exist. No other. Okay, so here we go. Marcus, so anyway, I will report back next week. If I remember, I will try to get that email thread. Watch this space next week. Marcus Binet, though, is saying there's a special limited edition of his Unleash the Wapoo card game. For attendees. Oh, yeah. And if you saw that last week, he's had a whole load. He's had a card game. Well, he invented a card game, and he's been in the process of getting the prototypes, whatever it's called, like the factory versions, just to check the quality and what have you. And I saw that you've rejected one, Marcus, one, I don't know, the quality on the corners or the edges or something wasn't quite as good. So he's finalized all that, I think. And the card game is here. I think it's a bit like something like Top Trumps. We have that in the UK. We don't probably have that in the US, you know, just saying. And so you can get that. You'll be able to pick that up on, what did he say? A special limited edition. How many are you bringing? Just out of interest.
Four.
976 or whatever the number
1,574.
Yeah. So are we going to have like a Pokemon type collectible Wapoo cards now,
it's or exactly is this
Unleash the Kittens or Exploding Kittens type game where it's like you get all the cards at once?
Hang on, let me go and see if I can Google it, see if it's got any. Yeah, there you go. So it's called Unleash the Wapoo. This is it. Nice job on the website. Let me just get rid of that comment. So here we go.
Very cool.
We're getting off, you know, way late, but it's great. So yeah, here's the card game. So you can see it's a bit like, you know, each of these characters. Well, I don't know if there's an equivalent like this in the US that I can lean into, but each character has certain characteristics, and those characteristics means points. And I'm guessing that you compete against each other and try to win each other's cards or something like that. But anyway, there's the how to. That is a nice website, Marcus. Good job. Yeah. Look at that.
It'd be a lot of fun if you could trade cards, trade Wapoos, and then go back and look at all the different unique Wapoos from old word camps that people customize. That would be very cool.
Says collect Wapoos, deploy plugins, rule the dashboard. So that's all I know. But it'll be there. Oh, it looks like there's something about how you set it all up and what have you. Go and get it. You can buy it. Look, click on the buy now button. You can get it before the event on a discounted rate, but you can get it at a different discounted rate if you turn up to the event. Tammy Lister's saying, will there be a digital version for those of us that prefer that?
It's not
Tammy wants to play against an AI.
I don't know if that's just taking it too far, Tammy. He's put a lot of time into that. It says it's more like, it's more like Exploding Kittens than Pokemon. Okay, got it. Got it. And there will only be 50 limited edition cards. Thank you very much. We're turning into the sales channel for the Wapoo game, but I'm happy with that.
Marcus, maybe it's not too late to get an ad in that Portland.
There you go.
There it is. You could have a whole center spread like that. There you go. Actually, I opened it on one of the useful pages, so that's good. I got a map. There, that's quite nice. Right, okay, there we go. Meet the Wapoo. Where were we? We were here. Speaking of automatic, as we were just a moment ago, and your sabbatical, I know that there's a lot of, you know, discontent in the WordPress space and what have you, but this is such a nice piece.
What?
This is the, well, exactly. Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Yeah, you tamp it down. I just thought this was a really nice summation. So Automatic have reached a milestone. I believe it's 20 years. And if you go to timeline.automatic.com, you know, with two T's, you'll be able to see what it is that company has achieved over the years. And honestly, I don't, wherever you sit on what's going on at the moment, it's a lot. It's a really large amount. And some of it is incredible, frankly. You know, 2005, company started. It was obviously Matt Mullenweg off the back of forking B2 with Mike Little and what have you. WordPress.com is launched as well. The first automatician in Europe was hired, and then later on, one in America was hired. Jumped to 2016. This looks like it was the first ever kind of WordPress event. It was called a grand meetup in San Francisco. 8 people were in it. And there's a sort of fairly, how to describe it? I don't think I've seen Matt Mullenweg with short hair like that before. So there he is at the table. In 2006. And at this point, WordPress VIP was launched. They got a CEO and had a venture capital round of 1.1 million. And then
that person at the back of the table there, a quick anecdote, that looks like Brian Veloso, who was one of the first designers at Automattic. Oddly enough, he was directly across the hall from me in my dorm in Providence, Rhode Island when I went to college.
Nice. It all ties together. You see, this whole episode is beautifully conceived. And then 2007 to 2008, some acquisitions. It all started to get very serious at this point. They acquired Akismet, which we all now know. Gravatar as well. I didn't actually realize that was an acquire until I read this. BodyPress, Intense Debate, CrowdSignal, which used to be PollDaddy. And at this point, they were getting another round of financial, a B round at 29.9 million on a valuation. I don't know what, they don't mention that. 2009 Video Press was launched. 10 million blogs were lodged on .com. First automatician coming from Asia. WordPress Foundation, 2010. VaultPress also came around as well. And 50 automaticians by the time we got to 2010. Through 11 and 14, Jetpack is launched. 100 automaticians at this point in 2011. It's worth 126.7 million. By the time we get to 2013, SimpleNote has been acquired, and 160 is raised, 160 million, not dollars, 160 million is raised on a valuation. Gosh, what a few years of $1.16 billion. It's all starting to get very
serious. It's the year I joined Automattic.
Oh, yeah, and it all went from there. Yeah, nice. I like it.
You said it.
That's great. 2015, WooCommerce was acquired. Sensei was acquired. Calypso happened. Another round, 160. Automattic, there are 500 employees at this point. Gutenberg is launched in 2018. 2019, Jetpack CRM came from Zero BS. That was acquired. Zero BS CRM was acquired. Tumblr as well. Newspack was launched. Now we're up to the valuation of $3 billion. Series of funding at 380 million, 1,000 employees at this point. And then we get into the much more recent past. Text was acquired, and so was Beeper in the more recent past. And that's probably where it ends. What a lot.
It amazes me, the valuation of Automattic versus the number of staff they have is just quite incredible.
Yes.
Even when they had 100 staff, I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah.
And they had that valuation. It's just incredible to me.
Where do you fit on this timeline? Like, in terms of the first time you actually seriously took a look at WordPress, mine is here somewhere. I think I'm around the 2014 mark. So, you know, it's a pretty serious endeavor at this point. Most of the world has probably heard of it. That's where I live. What about you? Let's go Mark Benzekane. Where were you hanging out the first time?
I want to say around the 2010-2011 mark.
Okay, you're much earlier than me. Still a yeah. 50 automaticians only at that point. It was still fairly small.
I do actually remember when the WordPress Foundation was established. So
so there you go. That would
it
be
might have year. Even been yep. 2009. I mean, I didn't like mark it on my calendar, unfortunately.
Yeah, darn. Yeah, you never knew.
Yeah.
But
that would be about the time, and I used WordPress for purely nefarious purposes as a affiliate dumping ground to just make money off of affiliate marketing, and did actually pretty well with it. So yeah, that's how I discovered WordPress.
You sense that somewhere that was written on this page, but they just deleted it at the last moment. Yeah, they've introduced that whole comment, you know, that whole block that they can hide and show on the back end. your contribution is there, Mark, but it's not.
Well, I feel, you know, I prefer to work in the background.
Anyway. That's right. I like it. What about you, Jesse? Where, I mean, you said you joined.
Joined Automattic in 2014.
2014.
For an acquisition that is actually not listed there, but we were a small group. We actually had a lot of impact with Group Protect with a very small team. I think I'm actually in the negative timeline here. Back in 2004.
Gosh, you're right back. Oh, yeah. So you're on the time. You're before the timeline existed. You're like Doctor Who. What? How does that happen? Wow. Okay. You really go back. And
Mark, yeah, it was very, very early on.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, what about you?
About the same as you, but I think 2014, something like that. One of my staff members said, hey, we need to look at this WordPress. He went off to a WordCamp and came back with bags full of swag. And I was like, well, that's all very nice, but what does it do? That's when I was introduced to it. So
For me, it was when Drupal 8 came along, whatever that was. Whenever Drupal 8 came along, I was heavily into Drupal and I just couldn't. So they don't do backwards compatibility. They just throw it all out and you start again, which is great, right? Because they keep up with the latest tech and they don't have to worry about all that. But it does mean you've got to rebuild existing sites. And you really do have to start from scratch. So I started whenever that was. It feels like it was 2014, 15, something like that, maybe. Here we go. Sinan WP wrote my WordPress book at 2012. That's kind of cool. That's really nice.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, okay. And back to the game. Marcus is, in fact, thinking about doing a digital version, Tammy. So there you go. But it's going to be $20 billion, he says, holding his little finger in his mouth. 2015 for Elliot. No, sorry, not 2015. I cannot read. 2005. So he's right with you, Jesse, right back at the very, very start. Okay, keep your comments coming in. That's really nice. There's your timeline. That's your automatic timeline. Let's see if it continues. Okay, this is interesting. I can't play it to you because I can't suck in the audio. But this caused a bit of a controversy this week. This was Imran over at Web Squadron. If you haven't had a chance to watch the video, I'll just tell you basically. He feels that it's directed towards content creators. So it's the likes of newsletter creators, I guess bloggers, but things like YouTubers, podcasters, that kind of thing. And his central contention really is that it's gatekeeped a bit and only the people who are in the inner cabal, for want of a better word, get onto these shows and get to demonstrate their stuff. And there's a lot of people who deserve to be shown but never quite make it. I think he's probably got a point in that, you know, you guys have all been on the show before. I thoroughly expect you to be on again. We do have that kind of relationship, don't we? I can email you and you feel comfortable coming on, and so it happens. I don't really know. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish it was much more open and everybody could come and have their say. So I'm going to have him on and he can air his views. But I don't know if that's something that you've noticed in the past. You know, are there just like a bunch of people that always come onto the radar, always in your Facebook, always in your Instagram, always on your YouTube, and you think it is a little bit of a cabal? That certainly was Imran's contention. He didn't throw any, you know, he wasn't punching down on anybody. No. He didn't mention any names or anything. So, you know, yeah. Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no. I watched it. I think it's the same in any industry. There's YouTube people that are more vocal than others. There are, you know, particularly like conferences. I mean, like WordCamps, for example. When you go to WordCamps, there's a common crowd there who spend a lot of time together, build friendships, build relationships, and for that reason, they're going to be the ones that come to mind when you want to talk about a particular topic. And I think it's the same in any industry. I don't think it's anybody doing anything bad.
Not fair.
I think it's just the way industry is. You know?
Yeah. I think there's also something to be said that even if you're an incredibly talented person in the role that you have, there's still the work of promoting yourself, being a great public speaker, animated, like all these other components that go into it. And so there's only you know, in that Venn diagram of people who are talented and working in this industry and all this stuff, if you're going to play in that space, you also have to fall into that as well. And I think when you combine that with what you were saying, Mark, everybody has an inner network. And when you're doing these shows and things like that, you're leveraging your network of people who you've run into at these camps and talk to and all that stuff. And so if you're out there and you're not feeling like you're getting publicity, I would say just keep working it. I run a podcast, Impressive Hosting. If you're not getting publicity, if you're not getting out there and you want to come on the show, come ask me. It wasn't hard to get on this show. I don't think there's a masked group of folks out there influencing who you're allowing on the show. I'm certainly not experiencing that.
Mm-hmm. One thing I would say, which is might be kind of interesting, is what I do is I do interviews. So it's me talking to another human being. So already the gatekeeping is, can you speak English? Because that's all I can do. But then also, can you reply? Because it's an interview. So if you can speak English, but it's not going to be consumable by anybody, that is also a sort of subset of criteria. Yeah. So there, I get probably about 3 or 4 email a week from very, very credible developers who have a thing. And I delve a bit deep and I always reply and I always ask, you know, tell me a bit about what you've got. And then often that will dry up. So I feel, okay, that was cold outreach. That's not going anywhere. But then sometimes when I do reply, I get, well, okay, so you're a podcast, are you? No, we don't have anybody that can come on. We're not confident in English. So it sort of dries up organically in that way as well. And I would love to raise those voices. You know, I completely agree. There are a bunch of really talented people who've got really credible products. But the missing piece to success is the marketing bit. Mm-hmm. And I can only do what's in my skill set of things that I do on my podcast. I'm not about to go out and, I don't know, get a translator to do an episode between one person and the other, because in all honesty, the audience probably wouldn't, you know, make it through that episode. So I do get what he's saying, but there you go. Here you go. Just to emphasize how low the bar is, Dave Gray says he interviewed me. it's like pulling teeth.
I'm not sure what that says about the group of people who are here right now.
Well, but you said it wasn't hard to get on this show. That's the standard I like to maintain. Aim low.
You can't. Nathan always pushes me away. I'm always trying to get in.
Here we go. I feel like, so Sinan WP, I feel like WP World needs more TikTok, Instagram shorts creators. We have lots of podcasts, nice channels, but not enough socials. Okay. I will leave that one to percolate in my head. So I think Imran's got a point. He's not trying to propose a solution. He's just trying to raise the thing. I'll have him on the podcast. Hopefully I've offered, and hopefully he'll come on and we'll throw that around a little bit. Cool. And see if we can figure it out. Right. God, we're like with 13 minutes to go. And we've got less than halfway through. So let's see what we can do.
And then you're about to start AI.
Yeah. No. Okay. Here we go. I'll raise this one very quickly. Jamie Marsland over on Poodle Press. So not the, I don't know if he's doing this outside of the sort of WordPress, you know, the head of WordPress YouTube, because he's done it on his own personal site, but he's trying to imagine that WordPress is maybe not as exciting as it had been in the past. We were talking about things like that. And AI seems to be able to offer the promise of livening it up a little bit, but he wants to push it further and sort of say, let's not rely on website building. It's more, let's use WordPress to build the infrastructure of the web. Anything that's possible on the web can be built with WordPress, basically. And so that was his contention. I don't know if you, all the stuff that we just talked about a little while ago about what the AI team is doing, I feel that that is addressing exactly his concern. So I don't know if this piece was written with that in mind, or whether he's bullish or confident, or he's, you know, he's a bit nervous about the future. But I feel that AI team is probably tackling this head on, to be honest. So anyway, you can go and check it out. Any comments on that one?
No. It's exciting to think about the ways in which WordPress can pivot from just being purely, I mean, we already know this, it's building apps, it's doing other things. But I think a lot of times people think of it as a website builder, which is interesting because, you know, it was only 10 years ago or so that we were pushing heavily for it to not be considered just a blogging platform.
Yeah.
How do we extend beyond that?
Right. Yeah. And he's making the point that WordPress is uniquely positioned to pivot into the AI space and kind of dominate that. Because, and he makes these points, he said, we can leverage a huge open source project, WordPress. It's perfectly positioned to fill this gap, this AI gap. And he says, why? WordPress already has a brand, it has distribution, and it has a developer community that already is using it to extend things. I guess the missing, slightly obvious elephant in the room is the AI companies behind it all. And the fact that you know, none of the credible AIs that I don't know of anybody using open source AI realistically. I think everybody's paying into to have an API key for, I don't know, ChatGPT, Claude, Anthropic, or whatever it is. Maybe that's the missing piece. But
I kind of feel like it's finally good to see. I think we had a good solid 2 years of people just doing nothing but complaining that WordPress was no longer sexy and nobody was coming up with like real solutions. And it's really encouraging to see people just throwing stuff out there and seeing what sticks, but actually looking forward now rather than just all the complaining that's been going on over the last couple of years. So I think we've gotten over that hump of here are our issues. And now we're actually getting to that part of, okay, what can we do to progress? And people are throwing things out there. And this article is kind of an indication of that, I think.
He starts the piece off by saying that Lovable, which is a company which I think has been around for about a year, has a valuation of $1.8 billion. You know, we were looking at Automattic and how incredible that was. I mean, that's really incredible. That's
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just a few short months. And Jamie, amongst a bunch of other YouTubers, I think like Matt Medeiros would be another one, have really demonstrated what you can do with these solutions without necessarily being a coder. This whole thing of vibe coding seems to be really taking off. So anyway, there we go. There is a piece here. I'll just quickly mention it. It looks like documentation is going to be written for WordPress 6.9 with a nod to AI. I guess it kind of makes sense. Why in the year 2025 wouldn't you get AI involved? But this piece is all about how that's going to be handled. And so basically it's going to be shepherded by humans. It looks like, although they're going to use it to sort of save time, there's going to be no point at which there isn't a human fact checking and a human running, you know, just to make sure that before anything is published, there is accountability and that there will be a guardrail in place. But it's kind of interesting to see that WordPress, make.wordpress.org, this is Jenny McKinnon. This is a proposal to put that idea forward. I mean, why wouldn't you, basically? The corpus of data is out there. AI can slurp it up and make something sensible out of it in a heartbeat. Why wouldn't you do it that way, I guess? But having a human shepherding that whole thing is tremendously important. Okay.
I think that's a great use of AI.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that AI is going to do very well. I mean, it can read code. It can understand what it's going to do. You can train it to teach it through other documentation on the writing style that you want, the way in which you want to inform people. And then the crowdsourcing of corrections will shore up that very quickly. And one of the places we've struggled for a very long time is documentation, then translating that documentation. So,
indeed. Yeah. So if this process can, yeah, that's a really good point. So documentation, like with the best one in the world, it's a little bit uninteresting. I suspect Mark Westgaard, you can speak to that. Documentation is probably hard and, you know, probably one of those things that often gets left to the last minute when it's, you know, you got other things to do. So there we go.
And it frees up the human need, the human talent.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, this is the curious thing. This is the bit that that is the exact moment that I could get concerned. I am worried about that thing, that exact thing. This idea that we're going to free up the human. I worry that you're going to free up the human so much that they don't have a job anymore. That's the piece that I think we've got to navigate to make sure that we get through the next 3 or 4 years and that all the humans who are now freed up are in fact freed up. They're not just,
you know, it's funny that, you know, we have this very large panic about AI taking jobs. And if you look at every industry since the beginning, since electrons started going into batteries and powering things, we have simplified things, pared things down, and used technology to replace people. I mean, the answering machine is a good example, right? Then it became touchstone screens and all this other stuff. There were thousands of call center people who have probably lost their jobs to things like that. It's not AI in a novel way replacing jobs. It's the next phase of technology. And I don't think that AI is quite there yet to just go in and scoop out a job. The way in which I've been using AI is much more like a chief of staff, in that there's, you know, it's, I leverage my ideas, it's my concepts, it's my things, but I have someone else there to help me. So right now it's in an accelerator point for me, but I think it's, you know, I think we need to think about the fact that, like, just technology in general has replaced jobs as a whole, and it's not a new thing in, as far as the human race is faced.
All you clever people doing stuff with AI, it's fairly remarkable. I get it to draw pictures of cats. anyway, that's about the level I'm on. No, seriously, that's kind of the level I'm on. I am constantly amazed by what people can, you know, promote it to do, prompt it to do. It really does baffle me. I just don't have the interest to get stuck into it. I know that that's going to be my my death knell, I'm sure. But that's the way it is. Okay, we are very short on time. And so I did promise Elliot that we would mention his article. So I just thought I'd mention this. Elliot, thank you for sticking with us. I noticed this piece that you wrote during the course of this week. It is highly technical. I was never going to go into it, but it is, you know, you can see there's lots of code written to the screens, but it is Elliot. And we were talking about the classic editor earlier. And so this is all about migrating legacy WordPress content to the block editor, a real world case study. So this is obviously something that has had to be done by Elliot in the recent past. I know that this is probably something a lot of people are doing, taking on sites. We seem to be at that point now where, you know, if a lot of WordPress websites will be coming to the end of life, and they're probably using the classic editor and things like that. And if you're unsure about how to do it without literally copy and pasting each blog post one at a time, then Elliot has your back. So you can go and check this out, follow through on the real world way that he did it on a fairly substantial website.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Nice, right? There's some sales on. If you want to go to Stella, this is through the events calendar, but if you go to theeventscalendar.com/Stella-sale, you'll be able to see that they have a sale on the events calendar. But if you scroll down, you'll be able to see that loads of other stuff on the Stella brand. So, for example, things like Cadence and LearnDash and Give and Solid and Iconic and what have you, that's all on sale. I think it's 30% at the moment. It's got your one more day if you want to make use of that. Also, never use this company, but there's a company here called WP Expo, WPX and then PO. They've got 55% off. So if you want to go to them, WPXPO.com, you can make use of that. And the last one we'll probably be able to fit in today, despite the fact that I had loads more that I wanted to talk about, is this one, back to AI, I'm afraid. Nothing to do with WordPress. Google, who I think are probably, is it just me or does it feel like Google are about to kind of leap ahead a little bit in this space? It feels like they've kind of been a fairly quiet, benign force in the background, but it seems like a lot of people are using their products now, and a lot of talk about Gemini in the way that there wasn't a year ago. They've launched a new vibe coding app called Opal. And the reason that I thought this was quite interesting was this interface that they've got for it. So you're going to chat with it, and then you will be able in Opal to break it down. And it kind of, what is that kind of thing? It's got like a flow diagram or something like that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Like a process, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you're going to be able to interact with each part and connect each part up to all these other different bits and pieces. I know that for me, this is probably of no interest, but there we go. Google have launched this new thing called Opal, and I'm sure it'll get very many people very, very excited. And
funny how much it looks like those kids coding programs.
That's right. Where you'd lean though, right? Wouldn't that be what you'd do if you wanted to just take on the total novice and dominate? Can you imagine how big the market for like an actually credible my grandmother can use it AI is? It must be trillions of dollars. You know, if you could build something to switch your lights on when you left the house, or if you could,
we thought that home mode automation saw boom. Wait till you can actually start to actually code this
actually
stuff
and, like, do
Raspberry
it
Pi or something.
Yeah, but also just like, I don't know, look at my bank account and tell me if I've spent too much this week, or I don't know, tell me where my
the answer to that is always yes.
Yeah, yeah,
that's okay. An easy one.
Yeah,
return.
Mark, yes. Mark, yeah.
You don't need AI for that.
Okay. That's the okay. Well, that therefore is going to be my job for this week. I'm going to build the AI that always says yes to everything. Only one question is left. So my task this week is to build that AI product, but also to write to the person selling email addresses. Yes. See if I can get something fun out of them. I think that's it. I'm sorry for not raising all the articles. Was there any that I missed that you thought, oh, darn it, I really wanted to talk about that one? If there was, say it now, because we've got like 30 seconds. No. Okay. Perfect.
I didn't see any of those, but the one thing, massive report came out saying that something like 40 to 50% of all web traffic is bots. And that's before AI.
Wow.
Something to think about. I think it's going to seep into everything else we're doing, especially in the marketing realm. Your Google Analytics reports and things like that, I think you're going to have to start to look at them from a different perspective. Mm-hmm.
40% of what, if you just took like a million hits on any random website, 40%.
Yeah. It's an interesting report. I'll share it with you so you can.
Yeah, I'd love that for next. I'll next pop it week, on the yeah, show yeah. next week. That sounds really interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess that trend is only set to continue with AI. Last week we were talking about just this kind of idea, like a Creative Commons license kind of thing for saying I do not want my stuff to be scraped, and if you do scrape it, I want to be paid for it. So we'll see if any of those kind of endeavors take off. It suddenly got bright here. I don't know if you noticed, I'm now in heaven. It's kind of come very, very bright indeed. That's because
you've been enlightened on AI.
Thank you. This will never happen. Yeah. I will never be enlightened on AI, but I am slightly less curmudgeonly than I was a few weeks ago. And I'm glad that I used the word curmudgeonly. It's been far too long. There we go.
You might want to just give in. It sounds like it's just delaying the inevitable.
No. Have you seen my hair color? It's fully gray. I reckon I can get
and you have nothing to lose.
But also, equally, I'm so close to the end that I can maybe just sneak under as one of those people that don't need it. In the same way that, you know, my grandmother might not have a mobile phone. She's fine. It's totally all right with her. And on that bombshell, let's leave it there. It only says, all I need to do really is go around the houses and say thank you. So first of all, thank you to Mark, that one, this Mark down here, or Karen.
Thank you for having me.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And this Mark over here, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And for this thank Mark you. Over here, who goes by the name of Jesse, not too sure about that. We only have Marks here usually, just so that you know, Jesse, next time you come back. And also thank you to you, the people who made the comments. I really appreciate it. Of course, Elliot, I'm so sorry we didn't do it any justice. We just kind of ran out of time. I had managed to just waffle on about AI instead. I apologize about that. We'll be back next week. I think it's the final show before WordCamp US, but we'll definitely be back next week. Only the humiliating hand wave thing to do now. I hope that. Oh, look, you're all just like totally primed. Oh, there we go. That's perfect. We'll see you next time. See you next week. And if you three want to stick around for a little chat, that would be quite nice. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.